Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. This week, I'm looking at three new movies, a thriller, a rom-com, and a documentary. There's Peasant Writers in Northern China, a courier in pandemic LA, and a romantic ad executive in Brooklyn. Songbird, directed by Adam Mason. It's 2022, 1 year in the future, and Nico, played by KJ Apa, is the happiest guy in LA. He's a courier who spends his days zooming around the city's almost deserted streets on his motorbike delivering packages. You see, COVID-19 has wiped out almost everyone, and those still alive are under permanent lockdown. Rich people cower behind high security walls, while in the poor parts of town, conditions are barbaric. Everyone is under constant surveillance, forced to submit daily to digital temp tests to prove they're not infected. Helicopters hover overhead, looking for anyone disobeying the lockdown, enforced by sanitation officers. That's paramilitary thugs dressed in bright yellow hazmat suits. So how come Nico gets to ride around unhindered? He wears a precious plastic bracelet, proving he's immune to the virus. His one sad note is he can't get together with his girlfriend Sarah, played by Sophia Carson. They're forced to hold hands on either side of closed doors and communicate only by text. And he's always on the lookout for the evil head of the Sanitation Bureau, played by Swedish actor Peter Stormare, an immune serial killer who murders with impunity. Will the virus ever end, and will Nico and Sarah ever get to kiss? Songbird is a science fiction romantic thriller about life under COVID. Apparently, it's the first such movie conceived, shot, and released while following health protocols since the start of the pandemic. Aside from Sarah and Nico, played by KJ Apa, the Kiwi heartthrob from Riverdale, who regularly takes off his shirt to reveal his abs, the story also follows William and Piper Griffin, played by Bradley Whitford and Demi Moore, a crafty rich family who secretly hide their infected daughter, Emma, and a young woman who works as a YouTube singer and part-time sex worker, and some lonely and depressed war vets abandoned by the government but still ready to jump in to save the day. Songbird is an okay attempt at capturing the pandemic in cinematic form up to now. We've only had movies like Contagion and Outbreak, but it's not great. And with the fast-changing news cycle, how can a movie like this keep up with the present day? Modern Persuasion, directed by Alex Apple and Jonathan Lisecki. Wren, played by Alicia Witt, is an advertising exec who lives in Brooklyn with her cat. She's pretty and smart, but in her 30s and still single. She broke up with her college sweetheart, Owen, when he moved to the Bay Area to make a fortune in tech. The agency, owned by brother and sister Rich Dilettantes, is not doing well, so she has to land a new account soon. Luckily, a social networking giant is interested. It's called Blipper. It's like Twitter, get it? Luckily, she has two millennial assistants to help her navigate these strange waters, but when the potential client shows up, it's Owen, played by Shane McRae, her long-lost love. But he treats her like she's not even there. It's not like she doesn't have suitors. There's Sam, Owen's best friend, a middle-aged emo who listens to sad music from the 80s, and Tyler, a London hotshot who owns a rival ad agency. Their impromptu dates are set up by her scheming aunt, Vanessa, played by the great Bebe Neuwirth. But secretly, deep in her heart, she still pines for Owen. Does he still love her? Does she still love him? And which is more important, her career or her love life? Modern Persuasion, as the title suggests, is a contemporary take on the Jane Austen novel. Parties in the Hampton replace balls in stately mansions, but the story seems essentially the same. I say seems because I haven't actually read Persuasion, but I have seen a lot of Jane Austen movies. Beautiful women, especially Wren, dress in modern versions of romantic gowns, while the brooding and duplicitous men are all handsome too. Appearances seem to be the great determiner in this movie. Everyone's made to be good looking. It's cute and occasionally funny, but the plot is totally predictable, and some of the lines, especially the fake millennial talk, are excruciating. Hashtag not a maze. That said, if you're looking for some very light, shallow, and inconsequential entertainment, you could do worse. Swimming Out Till the Sea Turns Blue, directed by Jia Jiangke. Ma Feng was a writer in early communist China. Born as a peasant, he later became a writer and was lauded by the party. Locals from the model community known as the Jia Family Village still talk about his innovations, like freedom to marry for love and communal work teams who were able to tackle the salty soil so they could grow crops. He's a fruit of the Yan'an talks, where Mao declared writing should not be done by bourgeois artists, but rather by literate farmers to share their experiences with other farmers. Lu Xun Academy, where Western styles were frowned upon and a number of writers were purged, served as training for Ma Feng. He studied there and brought his learnings back to the village. This fascinating, if slow-moving, documentary traces modern literature in communist China through four generations and how they reflected and were influenced by the political strains at the time. The documentary interviews the writers themselves and also as random villagers reciting lines from the works for the camera in the style of quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong. After the late Ma Feng, the movie talks to Jia Pinghua. His ambitions were thwarted because his dad once attended an opera in Xi'an, registered through a local warlord. This is before the revolution. And because of this document, because of this record, he was declared a spy for the Kuomintang, the KMT. And his children were also declared counter-revolutionaries. So young Jia Pinghua was not allowed to do anything he wanted to do. But he finally broke free from all this, from his tainted background, when he became a writer by painting 8-character slogans on a stone cliff at a reservoir. He was able to do it because of good handwriting. Yu Hua is a popular novelist who used to be a dentist, a profession he hated. Although he was born in the beautiful city of Hangzhou, his family moved to a backwater where he lived near a morgue. So he talks about when he's first published for a Beijing magazine, how the editor got him to change from a sad ending to a happy ending, because you weren't allowed to have sad endings in communist China. And Liang Hong tells harrowing memories of her childhood on a farm, including spouse abuse, hunger, and suicide. Altogether, Jia Jiangke subtly reveals modern Chinese writers and how they weather cultural revolution, censorship, and anti-foreign sentiments and conformity of thought while still producing great works of literature. I haven't actually read any of these authors, but I'll take his word for it. Like all of Jia Jiangke's documentaries, it's slow-paced and subtle, but very profound and actually quite moving, almost a tearjerker, especially the author's own recollections. Very moving. It's beautifully shot and divided into 18 chapters, each one beginning with a written text. While academic in tone and aimed more at those interested in Chinese art, politics, and history than regular Jia Jiangke fans, I quite enjoyed it. Swimming Out to the Sea Turns Blue opens today exclusively at the digital TIFF Bell Lightbox, and Songbird and Modern Persuasion both open digitally across North America. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.